going to be the best day of our life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't necessarily feel like the day is going to be the best day of my life. I can wake up in the morning and already have this idea that it's not going to be the best day of my life before I even walk out the door and give the day a chance. But I just really want us to think about it, because today, maybe it's not the perfect day and maybe it's not a trouble-free day, but it is the day that we are promised, a day that we have to live today. Tomorrow is no longer here, and tomorrow we're not promised, and yesterday is no longer here. And so let's just think about the best day of our life. This week we're starting this new series called When Pigs Fly. And this series is really just all about God taking the ridiculous and turning it into reality. And it's just what he does. We serve this God that's this powerful, and he can do anything that he pleases to do. And he takes some things that sometimes that we don't think are worthy or we don't think that's good enough. And he just really does some incredible, incredible things in those situations. And today I just really want to talk to you through just four different phases of a dream. Many of us, I want you just to realize today that God's put a dream on our life and has a dream for our life. And in that, I see many times that we walk through these four different phases. And I'm not trying to say that's the only four phases that we go through. I'm not saying that those are the only way that God does things, because God can do anything in the way that he pleases. But as I study scriptures and just look through scriptures and the way that God does things in people's lives, many times he does this thing. And the first phase is just simply this. You become aware. And this particular time, you just become just aware of what God has this dream for your life. That's just this little tugging. There's just a little sense of something that's in your life. And maybe you're not totally sure exactly what's happening, what's going on. But you just become aware of just a little bit of what God's trying to plan for you and laying out for you. And just become just a little bit aware of that. And the second phase is usually this. We encounter opposition. That's that someone that just whispers in our ear like that dream is just not possible. Maybe they're whispering in your ear that you're just not good enough. Maybe they're saying, are you sure? That's really just the craziest thing I've ever heard. And then the next phase that I see is that we endure difficulties. And this goes past the people just being opposition. This goes when things just really get tough. And things didn't go the way that we planned in our dream. And things are just a little bit more difficult. And things are just not going any way that I really want them to go. And then we just truly have to learn to surrender. And say, God, if this is the dream that you have for my life, then I'm going to do it no matter what I face, no matter what comes my way, then I just learn to surrender my life. And this is the pattern that we just see over and over and over again in scriptures. In the next few weeks, we're just going to be looking at these particular four phases. In this series, we're going to be talking about David in the Old Testament. You know, I really love David, and I love all the things that he did and the stories that you hear about David, but David was anything but perfect. He did some incredible things, and when he was at his best, he just seemed like the best. And when he was at his worst, he was definitely at his worst. And that this is a guy that made some just terrible decisions, and this is a guy who made some just incredible decisions. He was loved, and he was hated, but most importantly, he was used by God in just this mighty, mighty way. And so way before David was king, and way before anybody really knew who David was, that's where I want us to pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It says, and the scripture says this in verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king.' But Samuel asked, 'How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Take a heifer with you,' the Lord replied, 'and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of the sons to anoint.'" So Samuel, a prophet, was having this conversation with the Lord, and the Lord was saying, "You know what? I want you to go, and I want you to go and anoint a new king." And Saul was king at this time, and Saul was this picture-perfect king that you can think of if you just looked at him. The scriptures talked about how he was taller than everybody else. It talked about how he was stronger than everybody else. It talked about all these different great characteristics of Saul, but there was only one problem. He was a terrible, terrible leader when it got right down to it. So when God told Samuel to go anoint another king, I think there was this part of Samuel that was a little bit excited, like, I know that Saul's not a good king, but the side of him that when he realized, wait, I got to go anoint this new king, and Saul's not going to be happy, and Saul, maybe Saul will try to kill me. So Saul, that Samuel just gets a little bit nervous. He gets a little bit scared. He's thinking, so how am I going to do this, Lord? And God said, you know what? Okay, take a heifer. You go here. You act like you're doing a sacrifice. Invite Jesse. His sons will show up. His sons will come. Everything will be okay. And so what we see is then as he shows up, he comes into the town and he invites Jesse and he gets ready to do things. Jesse has all his sons come up. And we pick up there in verse 6. And it goes on to say this. When they all arrived, Samuel took a look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by the appearance or the height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things the way that we see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Samuel, as soon as he sees the oldest son, and many times in the scripture it was always the oldest son that things were passed down to, he looks at him, he gets excited, he's tall, he's good looking, he looks like just the perfect leader again, and Samuel, and the Lord says, wait a minute, not him. And so the second son comes up, and God says, nope. The third son comes up, God says, nope. The fourth son comes up, the fifth son comes up, the sixth son, the seventh son, and this time Samuel's like, nope, this must be it. And God says, nope. And I can only imagine this little bit of embarrassment that's going on with Samuel right now. Samuel's like, wait, God, I thought you said it was going to be one of Jesse's sons that was going to be the next king. And all seven of these guys have just walked up here, and you just told me no on every single one of them. So what he does is he turns to Jesse, and he finally says, do you have another son that's not here yet? Is there another one that's not around? And we see in verse 11, it goes on, and it says, then Samuel asked, are these sons all that you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the field watching the sheep and the goats. Jesse's like, yeah, there's another one, but he's out watching the sheep. He's the least of these. He's the one that's really not likely to be king. And so what Samuel does is he sends the servant to go get David. And I can just imagine this: the servant hurries and he's going out there to wherever David is at, and he travels out there and he gets out there and he says, David, you need to come in because there's this prophet here and he's here to anoint one of your dad's sons to be king. And he's went through everyone. So I'm guessing maybe it's you. So maybe you should come on with me and let's check this out. And I can just imagine David, and he's saying, David's like, what in the world are you talking about? Me, the king? Wait, I'm out here all by myself. I'm just a shepherd. There's no way that it's going to be me. Wait, they didn't even invite me to the ceremony for this king, to become a king. It's not me. This is not going to happen. Yeah, I'm going to be king when pigs fly. It's just not going to take place. And so he goes on, and in verse 12 it goes on and it says this. And it says that Jesse sent for him, that he was dark and handsome and with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. And we find David in this story as the least of these that I realize as you stop and think, and it's interesting to me, that David's own dad, Jesse, doesn't see the potential in David. He doesn't see that there's a chance that he could be king. He has eight sons. He brings seven of them up. Leaves David out. Sees no potential, no chance. Yeah, David, my last son, will be the king when pigs fly. And I see this crazy story, because his dad should have been the one who saw the potential in David more than anyone else. He should have been the one that made sure that he was there. But he didn't, because he was convinced that his other sons were more capable than David. that he didn't even bother bringing him out of the field. And it's amazing to me because there's 66 chapters in the Bible that's dedicated just to the story of David. There are 59 times in the New Testament that it talks about David. It talks about how he's going to conquer this city of Jerusalem, and he's going to set it up as his place where his kingdom reigns. And Jesus would actually be called the Son of David. And many of the different psalms that are written in the Bible would flow from David's pen. Some of the ones that we know the most, some of the most quoted psalms that there possibly is. And they all come from David. And as time goes on, David would be known as called a warrior. He'd be known as king. He would be known as a giant killer. But on this day, he wasn't even invited to the party. His own dad didn't see his potential. And sometimes I think that we look at our own life the same way and we think, I don't have the potential for God to do the ridiculous things in my life. I don't have the potential to live this dream that God's began to plant in my heart. And if we're honest, we feel like David because we weren't even invited to the party. And what I want us to realize today first is simply this. God is into the unexpected. God is into the unexpected. No one saw this coming. He was just a shepherd boy out in the field for crying out loud. No one even invited him. But in this very moment, every single thing changes. All of a sudden, now he has this dream that one day that he's going to be king. And I can't imagine how that would affect David and the things that would be going on in his mind and the way that he would act differently and the things that would be going. But on this day, his entire life and dream changed to, I'm going to be king. Now let's just take this and let's just think about this and apply this to our life for just a moment. Some of you know what your dream is in your life right now. And you have this dream and you know what it is, or at least the dream that God has placed in your life in this very moment of your life, in this very season of your life. But then there's a lot of us, we don't have a clue what the dream is that God's placed in our heart in this season of our life. And we just don't really know necessarily what the next step is, what God has planned for us. And there's a bunch of us that when we really just stop and think of it, we just don't know. And we wish that someone like Samuel would just roll right up in here and say, hey, this is what is going to take place. This is your dream. Now go after it. But many times, it takes time, it takes prayer, and it takes really seeking God all the different times. And so how do we discover that dream that God has placed in our life, at least for this season? Yes, it begins with prayer, and it begins with spending time with God. And those are the most important things. But I just want to give you a couple other steps to think about. I encourage you just to invite three people that you're close to in your life and have a conversation with them. And ask them to share with you what they think you were put on earth here for. And you might be amazed at some of the different things that you may hear and the wisdom that you may hear. Ask them how they found their dream. How did they figure out what God wanted them to do in their life and just learn from them? Maybe you can just look back and you can just say, what do you see? How do you see my life? What do you think that I'm good at? And the second thing that you can do is if someone came along and gave you all the money you ever wanted, what would you do with it? I know some of us right now, the immediate thing that you're thinking of, because it's an immediate thing that sometimes pops in my mind, is I'm buying that deserted island on the beach, and I'm going to have my feet in the sand, and I'm just going to live the good life if someone gave me all the money. But when I really stop and think about it, I really think that deserted island on the beach really represents a stress-free life. And that's why we really have that desire for that more than anything else. And so when you really think about that, I really believe that as you spent that time and that stress went away in your life, that you wouldn't really be satisfied because you would still have this longing inside of you for something something that you would really want to do and something that you would really want to accomplish after the stress died down. And that can be the dream that God has for your life. The third thing that you can do as you just try to discover this dream in your life is just observe your life. Ask yourself, what have I always been good at? What do I really care about a lot? Who do I admire the most? What makes me feel the most fulfilled? And rarely is it going to be in that moment where it just falls out of the sky and someone walks in here and says, this is it. This is the dream. This is it. It usually takes time. It takes seeking God. It takes seeking wisdom. And it takes really just living out that dream. And it's worth every ounce of energy that we get and that we have and the attention to really find what God really has and the dream that he really has for our life. But there's a couple other things that I want us to observe, right, as we look at these scriptures. First of all is this. Work diligently at what God's given you today. Because I love this story because Samuel walks in and David finally makes it back from watching the sheep. And he goes up to Samuel and he anoints him with this oil. And he says that he's going to be the next king. And what does David do next? Does he go to this crown shop and begin trying on all these different crowns and take his friends and say, which one of these looks the best on me and which size should I get and what color of crown should I get? Does he walk up into the palace and he brings this stack of boxes and he says, hey, Saul, here's some boxes. You better start packing things up because I'm going to be king. So just go ahead and get out of the way. No, the scripture says that he went back to watching the sheep. And when you stop and you really think about that, there was these huge dreams that were now on David's plate. And what did he do? He goes back to doing what he was called to do that day. And sometimes we can live so far in the future that we just want to live in tomorrow's dreams that we never even live what God has for us to live today. And the steps and things that he wants us to do today. And this is important because as people, we want to look at David's life and we want to see all these significant things that he does. And it's easy to fast forward in David's life and it's easier to look that he became this incredible hero. And it's great to look that he had tackled and he accomplished these huge and amazing things. But maybe instead of those, we just need to think about what it is today that I need to do next. What is the calling that God has and the steps that God wants me to take today? What does he want me to take tomorrow? Because everyone wants to have these stories, these miracles of David when it comes to defeating Goliath. And we want to be able to share that. And we want to have these Goliath-type stories because those are the good things. And taking care of the sheep just doesn't seem like this big and huge thing right now. But the scriptures say in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, it says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Whatever God has for you right now, whatever's in your life right now, it says, then do it with all your might. Do it with everything about you. And Colossians goes on to say, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, whatever it is, whatever dream that God has placed on your life, whatever it might be that you're doing right now, whether it be in word, whether it be in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you stop and you think about exactly what those scriptures are saying, and it really just knocks down this idea that our culture seems to have built up. In our culture, we seem to want to separate the sacred and the secular. And we think, oh, there's this wall here, and I've got to be doing all this, these sacred things, and we built up all these different things, and we say all these other things are bad, but the scriptures are actually saying, hey, no, this wall doesn't exist. Whether we're stapling papers or whatever we're doing for our job, then we need to do it for the Lord, and we need to put everything that we have into it and let our light shine in the situation that we are in. And we stop and we really think about it, and maybe at some point in time in your life, we just need to stop and realize that we need to make an impact in whatever that we do. It's not about you. It's about what we're actually doing for the Lord. And that we need to do it in this extravagant way that just shows people the love of Jesus. We need to do it in this way that just shows people the grace of Jesus. We need to do it in this way that just points people to Jesus. And that we can make an impact in anything that we possibly do. But for some of us, I'm afraid that maybe our parents at some point in time, we shared our dream and they're like, that's just not possible. Or a friend shared your dream and you just kind of ran into that opposition. So we just quit dreaming. Or maybe you came to your parents and you said, I have this dream and I want to open an ice cream shop. And your parents kind of looked at you and you could tell by the look on their face that that was the craziest idea that they had ever heard. And you go, did I say ice cream shop? I mean, I want to be a missionary to Iceland. Because we get this idea that for some reason that being a missionary to Iceland or a pastor or an evangelist is more important than living our life for God with where we're at. Our life is just as important as a pastor. We don't get more points in our life for being a pastor than we do a mechanic. We don't get any more points in our life for stapling papers than we do for being a worship leader or any other types of jobs. Those scriptures say, whatever you find your hands doing, do it for the Lord. God puts people around you in the situation that you are, that you can minister to people and that you can do things for people and that you can really live in an incredible dream out. And we just have to really realize and stop and think of what we can actually accomplish. And some of us, we really think that our job has zero possibility to make an impact. And the truth is, there's so many people that we can influence and that we can make a difference are. And maybe it's just us showing up faithfully to our work and being dependable and being steady, because that sets you apart by itself to show people that you are totally different. And people begin having conversations with you, and you never know where those conversations might go. When we just begin living the things that God has placed us in this moment. But then as we're doing that, we just need to relax and realize that God is at work behind the scenes. That he's at work behind the scenes that we don't necessarily see all the time. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, we know that that all things that God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, I read that scripture a lot of times, and usually I read that scripture or something just went wrong in my life, and I'm reading that scripture, and honestly, I'm looking at it like, so this is really supposed to work together for good. And that's kind of how I read that scripture sometimes. But what we need to realize is that God is working behind the scenes, and he's doing things that we don't see right now. And how do we know that God is working behind the scenes? Because he's working behind the scenes in David's life, and he can work behind the scenes in our life. And there was a lot of things that were going on behind the scenes in David's life that he had absolutely no clue about. David had no clue that God had been talking to Samuel and telling him that he was going to become a king. David was out watching the sheep. He was not anything, and becoming a king was nowhere in David's thought process. But God was at work behind the scenes. When David was watching the sheep and he had to fight this bear to protect the sheep, and then at some point in time later he fought this lion and he killed the lion to protect the sheep, David had no clue that those things he could draw from years later down the road when he fought Goliath, and that would give him extra confidence. But God was working behind the scenes. And God works behind the scenes in our life. And when David was a shepherd and he was learning to play the harp, David had no idea that that would actually lead him to be into the palace to play for the king. He had no idea that it would lead for him writing so many psalms that would influence so many people. But God was working behind the scenes in David's life. And I want you to hear this. God is working behind the scenes in your life. And it may not feel like it right now. And you may be going through a hard time, and you may be wanting to throw up your hands, and you may be responding, yeah, when pigs fly, this will actually happen in my life. When pigs fly, God will actually use me. When pigs fly, God will actually do something big in my life. When pigs fly, God will actually answer my prayer. But God is working behind the scenes in your life. And God is most powerfully present, even when it seems that he's most apparently absent. When we feel like God is absent, he's working very powerfully behind the scenes in your life. And we see it here in David's life. And the third thing I want you to know is this. Know that you are qualified. Know that you are qualified. You do not have to be perfect to be qualified. God has always used imperfect people to do extraordinary things. And maybe your parents couldn't see it. Maybe they didn't believe in you. Maybe your friends didn't see it. Maybe they didn't believe in you. Maybe your own spouse or your own kids didn't see it or believe in you. But you were qualified for the things that God has for you and the dreams that he has for you. And I know maybe you've even heard some hurtful things that just made you even quit trying to live out and fulfill that dream. But God can use you. God can do some amazing things in your life. And God is saying, I'm going to listen to that person that's going to listen to me. And God's listening and he's willing to use you. He's wanting to do some incredible and amazing things in your life. You know, I look back at my life and it's easy it's easier to look back, and it's always easier to say hindsight is 20/20 and see the amazing thing that God's done in my life. But sometimes looking in the future, it looks a little bit darker. But I can look back and I can see the crazy things that God had done in my life. Because for me, I was one of those quiet, shy kids that said I would never wanted to speak in front of people, much less be a pastor of any type of church. Because honestly, when I was in school, all the way through high school, if I had one of those reports that you were supposed to give in front of the class, I was the kid that walked up and said, you can give me a 0. My grades are high enough. I'm not going to talk in front of the class. And I see how God took that kid and how he's changed that kid to do so many different things and accomplish all these different things, because even though at times I didn't feel like I was qualified, God used me anyway to do some crazy things. And I remember this particular time when I was in high school, or right after I'd graduated from high school, my dad had found me a job delivering newspapers. Parents, please don't find your kids a job, especially delivering newspapers. Let them figure out what they want to do for themselves sometimes. But I was delivering these newspapers, and every day we had to go, and I'd throw these newspapers out the car windows the summer after I graduated into people's driveways. And I was driving down this dirt road delivering some of these newspapers, driving a little faster than I should have, driving a little faster than I ever probably admitted to my parents that I was actually driving. And I come over this hill, and there was this other car coming right at me. And so I got really nervous, and I went to scoot over. But when I went to scoot over on the dirt road, I lost control of my truck and spun out of control, and my truck hit a tree. And I'll never forget, as that truck hit the tree, I opened the door. And honestly, it's like I don't even remember the coming to a complete stop, because in that time I knew that God was calling on my life, and I knew that dream he had placed on my life, and I continued just to say no and say no. And I remember opening that door of that truck, and I remember just getting out and falling on my knees. And I remember just praying, God, whatever it is, I surrender. And maybe you remember that point that you were on your knees, or maybe it looked a little bit more like this. I'm not sure. But that time that you just have to surrender your life and you say, God, I know you can use me in some amazing things. And God can do these crazy and amazing things in our life when we just really believe on him. And what we need to realize is this: whatever he's called you to, he's equipped you to. And you have permission to believe that God will use you. You have permission to lead. You have permission to dream. You have permission to believe that the best is yet to come in your life? And I know it might seem crazy to you right now to believe that God can use you right now, but God is into the unexpected. And so you better hold on, because pigs just might fly. And I hope that you can realize today, as you look at David's life, he wasn't qualified to be king. His own dad thought so. But God placed a dream on David's life, and he places a dream on our life. And I think it's worth spending some time exploring and seeking God for those dreams and living those dreams out and looking to the future. And I think it's time that we also start living in the present and realize God has us in a place at this point in this time to fulfill the dream and the purpose that he has for us today. And maybe that means for today that we just go back out to the sheep and we keep living our purpose. Let's pray this morning.